Welcome back to Skincare Made Simple, the podcast where we simplify the overly complicated world of skincare and provide you with the tips and tricks to achieve clear, healthy, glowing skin. I'm your host, Ella, and in light of the potential TikTok ban that is coming up in just a few days, it is January 15th when I'm recording this, and the ban is supposed to take effect on the 19th. Now, we have not heard from the Supreme Court what their decision will be, and I'm trying to stay hopeful and optimistic, but in light of the potential ban happening in just a few days, I figured we would go through some of my most popular TikTok videos from 2024 and break down the information in those. So basically, I'm taking my best performing videos and giving you all that information in this podcast episode. If we like these types of episodes, please let me know. And also, don't forget, there are tons of links down in the show notes, everything from where to find me on other platforms if TikTok does go away, sign up for my email newsletter. Also, when you sign up for the newsletter, you will get your free 30 days to healthier skin calendar so you can do the challenge as well at home. It's a very simple, easy to follow calendar and something that we should all do every now and then. You'll also find a link down there to work with me one-on-one to make your skincare journey so much simpler and have a full customized routine for your specific skin type and skin concerns. Or you can shop my shelf down there and see all of my favorite esthetician-approved skincare products broken up into categories for skin type and skin concerns. Now, by far, my best performing video in 2024 was the video where I went to Ulta Beauty and gave a rating to every single drugstore skincare brand. And for some of them, I was pretty harsh. So the highlights there from that video are the fact that The Ordinary is trash. La Roche-Posay is overhyped and really only has like three good products. Their Basic Hydrating Cleanser, the Cicaplast B5 Balm, and their Effaclar Duo Benzoyl Peroxide Spot Treatment. Those are really the only products worth it from La Roche-Posay. There are a few other things like how Good Molecules, Bioma, Bubble, all of those are good for beginners in skincare, and you really shouldn't expect any like crazy transformation with your skin with those products. However, they're not terrible to use if we do have a limited budget or you are newer to skincare. Those are going to be perfectly fine brands to start with. And then we have the brands that got the highest ratings in that video. And remember, this is the drugstore side of Ulta Beauty. So this does not include the brands that Ulta has that I absolutely adore on the other side of the store, like Kiehl's and Murad and Origins and Peach and Lily and all of those. This is just drugstore. I did do the high-end side, but that video did not pop off near as much as this one did. So the brands that got the highest ratings are going to be Naturium, Peach Slices, which is the daughter company of Peach and Lily, and also CocoKind. There are a few products from CocoKind that I absolutely adore, and I really haven't tried anything from the brand that I like really dislike. There are a few products that are a little underwhelming by them, but overall, I really like CocoKind as a brand. Now, another video that did very well, and I think this one was actually posted in 2023, but whatever, we're rolling with it anyway. And this was one of my first videos that like went viral, I guess. I did have one go viral in like 2019, and honestly, I wish that I had continued posting right then, but I was so new to the app, and it was like the second or third video I had ever posted, and it was just organizing my lipsticks with a song in the background, whatever. I didn't even say anything, and that video took off, and if I had continued with that momentum, I'd probably be farther in my TikTok journey than I am right now, but that's okay. I don't regret anything. I'm so happy with how my TikTok journey has gone. However, this other video that I'm about to talk about is the one that actually got me up to 10,000 followers, which was like my first like big milestone with like a follower count. Not that followers truly matter, but you know, to get the attention of brands, you have to have at least somewhat of a decent following. So I was very, very excited that this video popped off. And I'm pretty sure the only reason that it popped off was because I said that shea butter is very comedogenic, which I said shea butter and coconut oil, but we'll get there in a second. People just love to argue in the comments. And though I'm not one to try to promote arguing in the comments just to get engagement, I wasn't trying to do that in this video. It just happened to work out that way in this video, and I'm pretty sure that's the reason this video popped off so much. However, the video was pointing out three things that could be breaking you out that you're probably not thinking about. And those three things would be putting on body lotion or anything like that, and then not washing your hands after and later on touching your face. And this is where I mentioned shea butter, because a lot of body lotions have shea butter or coconut oil or things like that that are quite comedogenic. And for some people, shea butter is very comedogenic. Like for me, my skin doesn't tolerate shea butter very well. It has to be perfectly formulated in a product for my skin to tolerate it. But coconut oil is extremely comedogenic. So that was the point that I was trying to make there. But really, if you're putting on body lotions and things like that, and then not washing your hands after, and then later on touching your face, you could be introducing those comedogenic ingredients to your skin. Same thing with hair products. I didn't mention that in this video. However, if you are putting hair products in and then not washing your hands after and then touching your face, there's a chance that that could be clogging your pores as well. I also pointed out in this video that if you consume whey protein, whether it's in a protein powder, a protein bar, a protein drink, whatever, whey protein is directly related to acne. A lot of people call it bodybuilder acne because bodybuilders down whey protein by the scoopful. And when they do that, they end up breaking out a whole lot more, not just on their face, but on their whole body. So whey protein is very much linked to acne, though it's not talked about very much unless you are like fully in the skincare world. So if you are consuming whey protein in any form and you're dealing with acne anywhere, your face, your body, whatever, then stop using whey protein. You can still use protein products, just switch over to a plant-based protein. No, plant-based proteins don't have quite as much protein in them as whey protein. However, it's a very small difference. It's like 20 grams of protein instead of 25 grams of protein. So it's a very small difference and no acne side effects. The last thing that I mentioned in this video was picking at your skin. Yes, we all know we shouldn't pick at our skin. Yes, we all know that sometimes we still pick at our skin. I am one of those do as I say, not do as I do, because I'm very much a stress picker, and half of my acne issues come from picking at my skin, like current acne issues. My skin's clear for the most part, but when one does pop up, I have to fight really hard to not mess with it. And that is something that I'm still very much working on. But when we mess with our acne, when we mess with our skin, when we pick at it, we are not only damaging the skin and causing inflammation. And by the way, your skin hates inflammation, but we're also potentially not getting everything out, because if you're not doing it the right way, you've got a high chance of leaving some of that gunk in your pore. And therefore, it can either fill back up or go from just being a simple whitehead, blackhead, like just a clogged pore, to being an inflammatory spot now, because now you've aggravated it, you've introduced new bacteria, and you've also left some of the gunk that's already in there. So you can take just a very minor whitehead and turn it into a full-on cystic spot by messing with it. Messing with your skin will never give you the results that you're looking for and will always end up making your skin look worse. So do your best to not mess with your skin. The best things that I have found to break that habit, because it is a habit and it is very hard to break, but it is possible. So the best things that I have found are pimple patches or something like a sulfur mask, because the sulfur masks are like a clay mask type of thing. They're going to be beneficial for the spot and help to heal it, but also it adds a physical barrier between your fingers and your pimple. So you cannot mess with it. The other thing you can do is ice your face. So just like when you sprain your ankle or break your ankle or whatever, you've got a bunch of inflammation, so you're supposed to elevate it and put an ice pack on it. The ice pack is reducing the swelling. It's reducing the inflammation. Same sort of thing when you ice your face. You're reducing the inflammation in your skin. So icing your face is really beneficial for that reason. And if you have a spot and you want to mess with it, you can still get some satisfaction of messing with it and get that almost like burning sensation from the super cold ice cube. I know it sounds crazy, but if you're someone who enjoys like picking at your skin, then you get what I'm saying here. That like hurts so good with a pimple. I know it sounds crazy, but if you get it, you get it. And so you can ice your face and it still gives you the satisfaction of messing with it and some sort of sensation with messing with it, but it is still beneficial to the skin. So these next two go hand in hand and are kind of a part one, part two, but not technically a part one, part two. I did record them back to back and I did post them pretty much back to back, and they are kind of on the same topic. So I'm going to loop them together. They both did very well last year, and it's a how to recognize your barrier is damaged and how to heal a damaged barrier. So your barrier is that top layer of your epidermis, and it is there to protect your skin from environmental factors. It's there to protect your skin from pollution and free radical and UV damage and bacteria, and it's also supposed to keep water in your skin so your skin stays healthy and plump and youthful and hydrated and all the good things. And also, your products work a whole lot better when your barrier is healthy, because if your barrier is damaged, your products won't actually stay into the skin how they should. They also won't penetrate the skin how they should. And it can be a whole thing where your products aren't actually doing pretty much anything because your barrier is damaged. So taking care of your barrier is actually like really important in skincare. And something that I tell all of my clients is that your barrier health is the number one thing we're focusing on, whether your barrier is currently damaged or not. And it's really easy to damage your barrier, especially when everything, like every brand, is out here promoting constant exfoliation. You don't need to exfoliate that much, and that is like the number one reason people damage their barrier. You can also damage your barrier by using too many products, by using really harsh products, by not using the right products, by just, you know, not wearing sunscreen. So we've got the UV damage there from picking at your skin, certain medications or certain like autoimmune diseases, conditions, all of that can also lead to a damaged barrier. Things like hypothyroidism can lead to a damaged barrier if it's not being treated, because that affects your metabolism and your skin's ability to heal and recover. So that affects your skin's barrier. And there can be hormonal issues. There are so many things. Everyone has a damaged barrier at some point, is essentially what I'm getting to. So focusing on the overall health of your barrier at all times is going to be key to having the skin that you actually want. Honestly, my acne didn't start clearing up until I truly started focusing on my barrier. And yes, that does mean less exfoliants and retinoids and more hydrating products. And if you have oily, acne-prone skin, that sounds so wrong. It took me forever to accept that, having oily, acne-prone skin. And I really didn't actually start to accept it until after I had my son, and my skin was so dry after I had him that I started focusing on hydration and really doing more research on the barrier layer and all of that. And then my skin started to clear up. And I was like, oh, that is how it works. I've been damaging my barrier. I've been over exfoliating because I've been dealing with acne since I was 13. And everything, including my teachers in school for aesthetics, say that to treat it, you have to exfoliate. That's not necessarily true. That can be a topic for another video, or not video, another podcast on like how to actually heal your acne with minimal exfoliation, or with like not exfoliating every single day at least. We'll write that down. I'll have that be another episode that we do this month. But we need to focus on barrier health is ultimately where I'm getting to this. So that was part one of these two videos. Part two is talking about how to actually heal your barrier. And to essentially do that, you are going to limit how much exfoliation and retinoid you are using. And it doesn't matter what exfoliant you're using. It doesn't matter what retinoid you're using. If you are using an exfoliant and a retinoid and you want to focus on barrier health, skin cycling is going to be the best routine for that. It tells you when to exfoliate, when to use your retinoid, and when to focus on hydration so that you don't damage your skin's barrier. So if you are currently dealing with a damaged barrier, and by the way, the signs of a damaged barrier are going to be redness, dryness, sensitivity, maybe your skin's peeling a little bit, increased acne, premature aging and dehydration lines, and you could be dealing with some texture at this point. There's a whole bunch of things that we don't want to deal with, okay? That is the sign your barrier is damaged. The first few things that happen are dehydration and texture. Then after that, all those other things can come about. You could just only deal with dehydration and texture, or you could deal with all the things. It really depends on your skin. Everyone's skin is different. It's going to look a little different for everybody. But no matter what symptoms you're dealing with, if you have signs of a damaged barrier, for at least the next 2 weeks, we are stopping all exfoliation and all retinoid use. If you are dealing with active acne, I know how stressful that can sound, but you can still spot treat. We're just not going to do an all-over exfoliation. So still spot treat, just no all-over exfoliation while we're working on healing our barrier. But we are going to stop our actives. We're going to stop our exfoliant. We're going to stop our retinoid just for 2 weeks. That is not going to set back your progress if you stop for 2 weeks. I promise. Again, your products aren't working the way you want them to if your barrier is damaged anyway. So we're going to stop there. and then go back to just focusing on hydration. If you are using a vitamin C, I need you to look at the ingredient list of the vitamin C and see if it is the active form of vitamin C, which will either say ascorbic acid or L-ascorbic acid. If it is one of those, we are going to stop using that right now also, simply because while vitamin C is great and vitamin C is very beneficial, the active form of vitamin C has to be formulated at such a low pH that it can actually be quite damaging and sensitizing to some people's skin. And if your barrier is already damaged, we don't need something that needs to be formulated at basically the same pH as lemon juice on your skin. So we're going to just put that to the side for now and potentially consider switching to a different vitamin C, one that isn't the active form of vitamin C. They are still plenty effective, just a lot more gentle on the skin if you go with the vitamin C derivatives. Now, if your skin is dealing with a whole lot of redness and sensitivity with your damaged barrier, then there's a good chance that you probably need to look through all your products and cut out anything that has added fragrance as well. Now, you're going to get some people that say, like, all fragrance is bad. You're going to get some people who say that fragrance doesn't actually make a difference. Like, you can use it if you want, blah, 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 whatever. My take on it as an esthetician is more of a, it's a personal choice thing. If it is something that matters to you and you don't want fragrance in your product, only use fragrance-free product. If you truly don't care and it doesn't irritate your skin, it doesn't cause breakouts, it doesn't make your skin like red and burny and tingly and all of that, and you want to use it because it makes your product smell good and gives you more of that spa experience, yeah, me too. So that's okay. I like the spa experience. Do I want something that's like heavily fragranced? No, and I don't want you to have something that's heavily fragranced also. But like, a few like natural essential oils, like depending on which essential oils they are, just to make it smell good and give that experience, or maybe even have a little bit of eucalyptus essential oil that's really calming and soothing and hydrating, and putting that in, like, I don't know, the Murad sulfur mask, because sulfur smells terrible and now that mask smells like eucalyptus and not like sulfur. I'm for that. But it's a case-by-case situation. Overall, I don't think fragrance is like super evil as long as it's very at the very bottom of an ingredient list and it's not causing any sensitivity in your skin. But that takes me back to, if you are experiencing a lot of redness and sensitivity with your skin, then cut out everything that has fragrance. Find fragrance-free alternatives. There are plenty of them out there. So now that we've done that, we've taken our 2 weeks to let our skin just rest and breathe and focus on hydration. Now we are going to start skin cycling. Right, which does take us into our next super popular video, how to skin cycle. I have plenty of podcast episodes and plenty of TikTok videos and Instagram videos and all of that on skin cycling, but to very simply break it down, when you are starting skin cycling, you are going to start on a basic 4-night rotation. Everybody starts on the 4-night rotation. And your morning routine always stays the same. We're just cycling our nighttime routine. On night one, you're going to exfoliate with whatever exfoliant works best for your skin and your skin concerns. On night two, you're going to use your retinoid, whichever retinoid works best for your skin. Well, all retinoids help the same skin concerns. So I was going to say the same thing as I said with exfoliants, but all retinoids help the same thing. So whatever retinoid your skin can tolerate. And then on nights three and four, we're focusing on hydration. Now, I know if you are someone who is using your retinoid or your exfoliant like pretty much every single night, if not using it every single night, going down to using it this little can sound a little stressful. And I totally understand that. But you got to think about the fact that how much you were using your exfoliant and your retinoid is possibly what damaged your barrier in the first place. So maybe going in with a lighter approach will be better for you in the long run. And also, please keep in mind, this is where everybody starts. After you've been on this routine for about 2 months and your skin has adjusted, then you can slowly bump it up and work your way back up. Where a lot of people go wrong is they go in too strong and too fast with their retinoid and their exfoliant, and that's what leads them to the damaged barrier. And then they add all these other products trying to fix it because now they may not realize that they have a damaged barrier. So they now have a damaged barrier, but now they've got more acne coming through. So they add in another exfoliant to target the acne. But now we've also got some texture coming through and, oh, my skin is rough. That means I should exfoliate it away. So let's add a lactic acid because that is what helps with texture. And it spirals so fast and only makes your barrier worse. So please trust me on this. If you go slow, you will have better results. It may take you a little longer to get to your results, but wouldn't you rather spend the extra time doing it like the proper way and being really gentle and nice to your skin so that you get better results that are more sustainable? You know, I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty good in my mind. I'd rather it take a little longer to see my results if I'm going to have better results that actually last. There are no quick fixes in skincare. all quick fixes in skincare are basically the same thing as a get-rich-quick scheme. It never pans out, and most of the time, you're the one that gets hurt in it. But it really is that simple to healing your barrier. We're going to cut back on the actives, and we're going to get on a skin cycling routine. We also want to focus on barrier health. I'm going to name a few. I'm going to give you three recommendations for serums that help with your barrier health, but there are thousands. Like, this podcast would take me all week to record if I was going to tell you every single product that could help. And it really does come down to personal preference. So like I said at the beginning, there's a link in the show notes to Shop My Shelf where I have a ton of products listed, and that's a really good place to start your shopping journey. So three quick serums that can help to repair your barrier. We have the Skin 1004 Proboscica Intensive Ampoule. I absolutely adore this product, but keep in mind, if you have a allergy to dust mites, there is a really good chance that you'll have a sensitivity to Centella Asiatica. But the Skin 1004 Proboscica Intensive Ampoule, absolutely amazing. The Skin Fix Barrier Serum, absolutely amazing. If you have a damaged barrier, if you're dealing with anything like that, then Skin Fix is going to be a fantastic brand for you. So the Skin Fix Barrier Serum, 10 out of 10, absolutely amazing. The third one I'm going to give you is the Dr. Whitney Bow Asta-C Serum. Now, this is technically her vitamin C serum, but it is a very gentle form of vitamin C. It is not the active form. She combines both THD and 3-O-ethyl ascorbic acid, which are my two favorite forms of vitamin C. So the Dr. Whitney Bow Asta-C Vitamin C Serum is going to be a fantastic one to add in. It also has astaxanthin in it, which is a super powerful antioxidant. It's actually the stuff in the algae that the, is it algae? I think it's algae that the flamingos eat that turns it pink. It's what gives the flamingos their pink color. That's what astaxanthin is. So the serum is kind of like the salmony pink color because of the astaxanthin. And I just think that's so much fun. But I adore Dr. Whitney Bow products. So those are the three products that I'm going to recommend for barrier health. But again, remember, there are thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, for you to pick from. Those are just my three favorite. Now, the last video or videos that I am going to mention are all under the same category. I can't tell you how many videos I made on hyperpigmentation last year, because on almost every single video I posted, someone was asking about hyperpigmentation. So because that was probably my most requested, we're going to cover that as our last video that we're going to talk about in this podcast. So for hyperpigmentation, no matter what form of hyperpigmentation you are dealing with, whether it's sunspots, age spots, acne scars, post-inflammatory hyperpigmentation, whatever the case may be, if you have any darkening of the skin, that is considered hyperpigmentation. So no matter what form of hyperpigmentation you are dealing with, there are three things that you need to have in your routine, and then a few little extra goodies you can add in also. So first of all, we need to be skin cycling, with your exfoliant being either azelaic acid, mandelic acid, or glycolic acid. Which one you go with is up to you. If your skin is not sensitive and you would like to work on hyperpigmentation and anti-aging, go with glycolic acid. If your skin is a little bit on the dry side and you're also dealing with inflammatory acne or really prone to fungal acne, then go with a mandelic acid. And then if you are dealing with skin that is more on the sensitive side and also dealing with redness or possibly even rosacea, then go with an azelaic acid. At the end of the day, all three of them will help with hyperpigmentation beautifully. So pick your one exfoliant. And then we're also going to have a retinoid in your routine. Retinol, retinal, prescription strength retinoic acid. Pick one that your skin can tolerate. Please do not go with the strongest one you can get your hands on. Start low and work your way up, just like with the skin cycling that we've already discussed. It's the same type of thing with the strength of your retinol. I can absolutely do a podcast episode on that. I don't think I've done one yet. If I have, I can do an updated one. So I'll add that to the list also. We'll talk more in depth about retinoids. But you've got your exfoliant, you've got a retinoid, and then a daily sunscreen. Every single day, there can be 10 feet of snow outside and you're not leaving your house for 3 weeks. I don't care. You are wearing your sunscreen every day, especially if we're working towards hyperpigmentation. Because if you're dealing with hyperpigmentation and not wearing a sunscreen, it's the exact same thing as having a stain on a t-shirt and throwing it into the dryer and the heat from the dryer setting that stain in and making it so much harder for you to get it out. Maybe not impossible, but so much harder. The sun does the exact same thing for the hyperpigmentation on your skin. So wear your sunscreen. Those are the three products that you absolutely need to have in your routine if you're wanting to lighten hyperpigmentation. However, they're not the only ones, and a really good comprehensive skincare routine to target hyperpigmentation is going to have something like a vitamin C cleanser. Naturium has a fantastic one. Followed by a toner that helps with hyperpigmentation, like the Aquell 5.5 Licorice Root Toner. Doesn't exfoliate, helps with hyperpigmentation. And then it may be a hyperpigmentation serum, like the Cocoa Kind Discoloration Serum, the Dr. Idris Major Fade Serum, the Dr. Whitney Bow Ask the Sea Serum. Pick a serum that does not exfoliate and use that every single day, morning and night. And then you can even add in a moisturizer that helps with hyperpigmentation, like the Clear Stim Hydro Glow Moisturizer. That helps with hyperpigmentation because of the bakuchiol in it. Yes, bakuchiol is known as a retinol alternative. It is not a retinol. It is a plant-derived ingredient that can help with cell turnover and help with brightening and hyperpigmentation in a similar fashion to what retinol does. It is not a retinol. It does not come with the same sensitivities and the same rules as retinol. So there's that. But the Clear Stim Hydro Glow, or even the Dr. Idris Major Fade Moisturizer. Both of those are fantastic for hyperpigmentation. And then there are even sunscreens that help with hyperpigmentation, like the Kiehl's Autotone Sunscreen. I love that one. That was probably my like third most used sunscreen of 2024. So you can have every single step of your routine target hyperpigmentation without it being an exfoliating product or a harsh product or anything like that. Every single product I just named does not exfoliate, helps to hydrate and soothe the skin, helps with hyperpigmentation. There are so many ingredients that do so many things other than exfoliate that we really should be utilizing these if we really want to target any specific skin concern. So if you are working on hyperpigmentation, tackle it from multiple different angles. But the three things that will make the biggest difference in your routine will be your exfoliant, whether it's glycolic, mandelic, or azelaic acid, your retinoid, and a sunscreen every single day, no matter what sunscreen it is. Those are the three things that will make the biggest difference. But please, 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 please keep in mind, consistency is key. Sometimes it will take going through two or three bottles of one of these products that I just named to actually see a difference, because hyperpigmentation takes on average 6 to 8 months of consistent use of your products to actually go away. Again, there are no quick fixes in skincare. I know that nobody wants to hear that, but that is just simply the way it is. Now, while I'm hoping that this TikTok ban doesn't actually go through, or if it does, it only goes through for like a week or two, and then we get our app back, I really just hope that the powers that be come to their senses and let us keep this app, because we can't replicate it. This has been such a unique experience. And if this is the end of it, I am so, so grateful that I did download the app, that I did like actually post on there, and I got to connect with so many of y'all, and it gave me a platform to be able to help so many women with their skin. And I will forever be grateful for that. And I hope that if that app does go away, I can still continue helping women with their skin through this podcast and through other social platforms. But thank you so much for hanging out with me on TikTok and here on the podcast. I know that I really didn't post anything on the podcast in the past like year, but 2025 is going to be the year the podcast comes back. So get ready for a new episode of Skincare Made Simple every single week. And I really hope that you come back and join me. Subscribe, leave a review, share this with a friend, all of the things. I appreciate you and I love you, and I hope you have a wonderful day. And don't forget, reapply your sunscreen.